Christ taught them. All right, if you'll open God's precious word to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. Back it up. That's why I've often said you could go, you know, 10 lifetimes, go through everything 10th time and still find different emphasis, different things going on. And this time we're looking at it primarily from the standpoint of Nicodemus and just concentrating on how these things are affecting him. And let's talk about prayer. Appreciate you continue being in prayer for Judith. She has tried two different pain pills from the doctor, prescription, and neither one of them do anything. She's hard for those things to do anything to her. And, I mean, I take something and it immediately goes to work, but it's very difficult for her. And so she called the doctor today, and the doctor said, go over behind the gym at Plano High School. Those kids have something stronger than I got. And she didn't do that. And the doctor is going to send her a third thing, so I don't know. But it's just really a matter. It's going to take a lot of time to heal a fractured pelvic. And that's just going to take that kind of time, and there's not a whole lot that can be done. To rush that up, speed that up. What I'm working on now is all the swelling and the bruise, the blood bruises with ice. And anyway, please be in prayer. Let's see, we need to be in prayer for Thomas. We need to be in prayer. Something else came up Sunday. Tana, how's Tana doing? All right, she's doing good. And any other prayer requests that you can remember? Yes. Okay. This thing to happen, so please thank you for telling us. Let's all be in prayer for James. I don't know what for, but he just needs our prayers. That is something everybody, if they live that long, they go through that. So let's have a word of prayer and get ready for our study in the Word of God. And we're going to move into where Jesus once again is going to inform us more about this Nicodemus, because he's going to talk directly to Nicodemus. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, we have so many requests of prayer that we have our prayer list, and people Sunday morning offer up their requests of prayer, Father. And we bring all of these to you, the young people, and as they meet tonight and tomorrow night, Father, pray that your Spirit will lead the teacher, Chris Daigh, as he teaches them now, Heavenly Father, and be with the young people. Their mind will be open, their eyes will see things that he had to have them to see. And now, Father, we pray that your Spirit will be with us here, that we will be able to extract from the Word of God the things that you would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, John 3, and we have moved to verse 10. John 3, and we've moved to verse 10. And you remember in verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things happen? And we spent time last week in closing. How can someone enter the kingdom without the law? How can you enter the kingdom without the temple? How can you enter? How can this happen? How can these things even happen that this could happen that way? So this is the Lord's response. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? So people were learning something about Nicodemus. He's a master teacher of Israel, and he doesn't understand the things that Christ is talking about. Now, people, he's not talking about the second advent, as he was to the disciples in Matthew 24. He's not talking about Daniel's 70th week. He's not talking about the tribulation. He's not even talking about the kingdom. Jesus is talking about very simple principles from the very beginning. Redemption that leads to salvation. And he doesn't understand these things. He's teaching being born from above. All these things, and we've already studied the passages, how Nicodemus should have known all of this. So we've learned some things about this man. He is not unlike many members of the Sanhedrin. They know all of this, but it never enters their mind. Now, one more point. Nicodemus was the most highly trained in theology of his day. Yet, he was completely in the dark about basic spiritual truths. And here's the principle. You have to be, you must be, very careful who you listen to and teaching you the Word of God. If you're listening to somebody teach you the Word of God, be very careful. Now, if you're going to a movie for entertainment, I'm not real big on putting a lot of rules and all that kind of stuff. And I don't go there for anything other than just for entertainment. But when you open up your soul and you're listening to someone either face-to-face or a tape or a disc, television, whatever it is, be very careful. Be very careful whom you open up your soul to listen to. And just because somebody has degrees, seminaries, author of books, clever with this use of the Word of God, all of these things, doesn't mean he understands the basic truths. Does not mean his basic understanding even of the Bible is correct. That he says the Word of God is divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, and that's the end of it. It doesn't matter whether sin affects anybody else, whether it affects anybody. If God says it's a sin, it's a sin. You don't analyze it. That's not our right. It's not our privilege to analyze. Well, I don't see how that hurts anything. I don't see how that affects anything. I don't see how it bothers anybody. That's not the criterion of sin. The criterion of sin is, what does the Word of God say? It's that simple. And so this is the difficulty in finding people who understand the Word of God. He does not need a pastor that's doing it right. He doesn't need psychology. He doesn't need human social studies, trained counselor. I get a monthly letter on heresy. And it's such a super letter and keeps up with everything. Psychoheresy. And he talks about all the heresy going on in churches around the United States and books that are written. It's just amazing. But the man that you want to live, this is all he needs, is this book. Just this book and nothing more is all that he needs, is the Word of God. I had an interesting conversation. My AOL was bad, and I went on AOL and waited 25 minutes to get the helper, but I finally got the helper. And do you know where she was? Romania. She was in Romania! And she's going to help me in Dallas with my AOL. Well, she kind of did, not fully, but kind of. But we got to talk, and I asked her about the religion. And that was my come into the gospel in Romania. And it was really interesting, kid. Just think about history and all. It's Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, which broke from Western Orthodox. And I said, well, what is your position on this and that? What do y'all do? And we got into a discussion. And she was, yes, it's by faith in Christ. But a little didn't stand on that. It was like there's more, but she didn't want to say more. And it's all you need is this book. If it's in this book, it's there. If it isn't, then you let it go. All right. So best know how. Any teacher better know how to be saved by grace through faith, and know how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. Those are two fundamentals that we have to understand. And if you don't have either of those right, you're on a wrong course. And you just have to understand those basic things. And spend his time in the study of the Word of God, not out visiting or going to various events going on. There are so many events to distract pastors. And I mean, they're bona fide things. They're not wrong in and of themselves, but it's just like you've only got so many hours in a day. And you can get involved in really good crusades. You can get involved in Jewish things. You get involved in just so many different things to get involved in. And I've had to make a decision over the years. No, I'd like to. I'm sorry I don't. But you just got to be very careful in picking out those kind of things. So at least this Nicodemus had the motivation to go into this rabbi, Jesus, and ask him questions. Now he has the humility to ask and listen. Now, we don't have a verse that says Nicodemus believed. We don't have a verse that says Nicodemus was a follower. But we do have a verse that kind of pretty much implies that we'll take a look at when we're through with this segment of our study. But he had the motivation. He knew there was more. And that says a lot about him. There's more here. And this man Jesus is saying things, and I need to go talk to him at night. I don't want anybody to know I'm doing it, but I need to go talk to him. And I'll hand it to him for that. And then he had the humility to listen to him. Now, for an example, we just read last week, Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, where Christ said, obtain eye salve that you may see the truth. People, a pastor's got to be able to do that. And Nicodemus did not have this eye salve so that he could see the truth. And no matter who you listen to teaching you the Bible, you have to ask yourself, is this in the Scriptures? Do you see it in the Scriptures? And if you don't, then if you, depending on the circumstances, ask him, or just be careful if it's not, cannot be shown in the Scriptures. And see what he says is in the Word of God. There's an interesting group in the Bible, and then it's picked up by a movement today called the Bereans. And Dave Hunt was a Berean, and they searched the Scripture. And that's what the Bereans did. They spent their time searching the Scriptures. So in verse 10, we learn something about this Nicodemus, as well as most of the other members of the Sanhedrin. He is a teacher of Israel and does not understand the simplest, most fundamental, most important doctrine, repentance that leads to entering the kingdom. Now, the problem here is that he thinks he does. There's the problem. He thinks that he does. He thinks that when he teaches obeying the law, do and do, the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, the sacrifices, all these things, that you got it. But he's wrong, and he just doesn't understand. Now, let's move to verse 11. John 3, verse 11, verse 10 now. Verse 9, how can these things happen? Are you a teacher of the Israel and do not understand these things? Now we come to verse 11. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Now, later they will not only not listen, they will not accept his testimony, they'll crucify him. That's how this is going to get so bad. But this entire conversation with Nicodemus is severely important to Nicodemus and to Jesus Christ. This is the third time in a brief conversation with this one man that Jesus has started off with truly, truly. This is very important. This is honest. This is truth. This is most serious. Listen to me carefully. All of that's involved in the concept truly, truly. Truly, truly, I say to you, it's for your advantage that I say this to you. And I had to put that in Sunday. About for your advantage. I don't want that just to kind of flow through as an academic statement because I say it a lot. That's a very important phrase. It's for your advantage to know these things. So when I say that, it comes out of the Greek, the dative of advantage. It is to your advantage that I'm teaching you this. It's to your advantage that I say this. And it's very important. We got to understand the whole concept of something being to our advantage. Okay, this is to your advantage. We speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen. Okay, first problem, the plural. We speak. I say, we speak. Verse 3, I say to you. Verse 7, I said to you. And now, in verse 11, all of a sudden, Jesus Christ says, we speak. So who's the plural? Now, we know nothing of any other disciple that's here this night, in this room. And even if there were, this being so much at the beginning of his ministry, it is highly unlikely that the disciples would articulate these things so early in the Lord's ministry. What I believe this plural is, I believe this plural is an authoritative statement. An authoritative statement by Jesus Christ. Look back at verse 2. Nicodemus says, you have come from God. Unless God be with him. So, now responding to Nicodemus' words, Jesus is saying, we, inclusive of the Godhead. Now, you don't like that? You want to say it's the disciples? That's fine. We can go have a Coke. I'm not going to worry about it. You, whatever you want. I have no proof that he's saying we, members of the Godhead. You have no proof. We, the disciples. And that. And one writer, it's academically reasonable, said it's sort of like a linguistic we do this, we do that. That type of thing, not with anyone in mind. And but I believe that he's referring to the Godhead, God the Father who sent him, God the Holy Spirit who directs his words, and himself. Also notes with the certainty of what Jesus is saying about entering the kingdom. We speak what we know. We know as fact, is the ideal of knowing here. We know as fact. We know as a present active indicative of the absolute ido, which is from the absolute concept of we know for sure. We know with all certainty, absolute truth, as fact. Okay. And then it says, and testify. Present active indicative of martureo. Martureo is the Greek word to witness, to bear witness. Now, that we're on the right track, that he's talking about members of the Godhead when he says we, God the Father, and himself included. Look at John 5. Look at John 5:32. John chapter 5, verse 32. There is another who bears witness of me. Now, he's just said we bear witness what we know. Who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears of me is true. So I think this just kind of flows through the scripture, referring to God the Father. Look at 5:37. 5:37, and the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. So he's very closely related with God the Father. This isn't something he just pulls out. Look at chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 18. John 8:18. I am he who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. These are all martureo. So he's talking about bearing of the witness, and we bear witness. So God the Father bears witness. And being written by John, I would like you to look at 1 John 5:9. 1 John, find Revelation, go back to Jude, and then 3rd and 2nd, 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. He has witnessed concerning his Son. So these passages, I think, show when he talks about John 3, let's go back to John 3 now. John 3, verse 11, where he says, we know and testify, bear witness. So God the Father bears witness of his Son. So John 3, 11, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know. Now that statement again reflects back on Nicodemus. You're a teacher of Israel. You speak, you teach, and you don't even know. You don't even know the truth. You speak, you teach, but you don't know the truth. You do not know how to enter the kingdom by grace through faith. You don't know about the second birth. So you are teaching untruth. You are teaching what you do not know to be truth. In contrast, we speak of what we know to be divinely true. So I think this refers to God the Father. And testify. Bear witness. We speak and we know and we bear witness. Now these are all in the present active indicative. It means it keeps on occurring. And this has been going on for all eternity and will keep on going on. We bear witness of what we have seen. Now this is a consummative perfect. Ooh, that's really powerful, isn't it? No, don't be impressed. I'm just throwing out what we learned, what this is called. This is a consummative perfect of the verb. Arao means to see or to perceive. Now, the consummative aorist, or the consummative perfect, what this does, it places emphasis on the past. The consummative perfect places emphasis on the past. How far back in the past? Eternity past. With the present result that Jesus Christ now bears public witness to this fact. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit knew these things in eternity past. They knew of the miraculous way anyone might enter into the kingdom, might be born from above. They knew it from eternity past. So that's what we have, what we know. We bear witness of what we have seen, and have seen it from eternity past. Now, Jesus Christ speaks directly to Nicodemus. And here it is. You do not accept our testimony. And with this one statement, we learn a great deal about this Nicodemus. How can a man be born again? How can these things happen? Now, we might like to think that he had an intellectual problem or a physiological problem or even a theological problem. But Jesus Christ tells us the real problem. Jesus Christ tells us exactly what Nicodemus's problem is. It's a problem of all mankind. It's a problem of everyone who rejects to believe and refuses to believe. He does not believe the witness of Jesus Christ. There's his problem. It's not theological. It's not a matter of education. It's a very simple problem. He does not believe the witness of Christ. Here is the reason you do not understand. Here's the reason you're so ignorant. You do not accept as truth our testimony. Now, the word to receive is the present active indicative of lambano, to receive. How do we receive from God? By faith. So this Nicodemus simply does not believe what Jesus Christ is saying. He's just shaking his head. And he should not be shaking his head. He should know all these things from the Old Testament, and we've spent time going in a lot of passages. But it's that simple. How could he be so educated and not understand? Does not believe. It's that simple. He does not believe the Word of God. He does not believe the witness of God concerning his own Son. And people, you don't have to try to make more out of it. You don't have to say, I don't know how he could not. It's simple. He doesn't believe. He doesn't believe this book. So you're talking to somebody, and they say something, and you say, how can you say that? I don't understand. It's simple. They don't believe what's in this book. They do not believe the Word of God. It's that simple. And you're not going to argue with them. You're not going to teach them. Just to pick a very popular one, I don't see that homosexuality is wrong. They don't believe this book. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're head of a denomination. I don't care if they're the Pope of Rome. I don't care who they are. If they don't know the Word of God, that's the problem. They don't believe the Word of God. So this is what the Word means. Elalamano, to receive by faith. It is that simple. He does not believe the Word of God. He does not believe the witness of God concerning his own Son. Now, here's something interesting. Jesus Christ uses the plural, and it's not y'all. It should be translated, you people. You people do not accept our testimony. Because there's the plural used there. You people do not accept the testimony. This is the way the NIV correctly translates this. If you have an NIV, you'll see it, that's the way it's translated. You people, plural. You people do not accept our testimony of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is not the problem of Nicodemus only, but the problem of the Sanhedrin, and the problem really of most of the Jews at that time. You people, you do not understand, you do not believe our testimony. And that's their problem right up to this very day. They do not believe the testimony of the Word of God. And this, of course, really comes out in the trials of Jesus Christ. Well, they simply do not believe it. Now, this is not the only problem of Nicodemus. Not only the problem of the Jews. People, this is the problem of people throughout the history of mankind. It's the problem of people throughout the world today. It's the problem that they have of not believing. Not believing the Word of God. It's that simple. They simply do not believe the Word of God. And that's the kicker of it. Either you believe it or you do not believe it. And there are a lot of people in America, they do not understand. They call them extremists. They call these Muslims ISIS. They call them extremists. People, these are just Muslims that believe the Torah, the Quran. They believe the Quran. That's what it says. Glenn Beck just put out a book. And he quotes the passages in the Quran. This is what they believe. They're not fanatical. It's what they believe. They're no more fanatical than you and I are believing that you're saved by grace through faith. That's what they believe. And when they kill, when they murder, when they rape, when they do all these things, they have permission. It's right there in the Quran. So this is the way. You've got to understand the truth of what you're reading with. Here we're dealing with the Word of God. Nicodemus and Sanhedrin and the Jews simply will not receive it. In context, Nicodemus does not believe one can enter the kingdom or have eternal life without obeying the commandments, without doing due. And therefore, this Nicodemus is not unlike all religious people who refuse to believe in salvation through grace by faith alone. He's not unlike anyone. He's not unlike anyone who says, no, it cannot be just simply by faith in Christ, faith alone. You're going to have to do this. You've got to be a member here. You've got to do this or that. So he's no different. But we're learning about him, and we're learning about a lot of people in the world today. So this is in context of what he does not believe. He does not believe you enter the kingdom by faith alone. First thing you have to do is have faith. That's the first thing we have to do. You have to believe. So you have to believe, then you'll understand. Faith is fundamental to every relationship with God. We know this from various passages, like starting with Ephesians 3, for by grace through faith you're saved. But I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to concentrate on verse 3. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand. And you can put a period right there. By faith we understand. But let's go back to verse 1. Because these first three verses is a dissertation on faith. Now, at our camp this last month, we spent our time on verse 3. Verse 1. But verses 1, 2, and 3 is a good dissertation on faith. So let's take a look at it. Let's learn some things about faith. Verse 1. Now, faith is absolute. Present active indicative of the root eimi, the to-be verb. Present active indicative, continually existing in this fashion. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The assurance of things hoped for. Now, at camp, what I try to do is because I want them to get it, and I want them to give it back to me, and so what we did at camp, I just had the two main words to do this. Sure hope. Sure what we hope. Sure hope. Those are your two major words. Don't want you to forget them. Don't you forget those words. That's what faith is. It is the assurance of things we hope for. So that's the great issue. The conviction of things not seen. Can't see salvation. Can't see the filling of the Spirit. Can't see many of the wonderful blessings in the Word of God. Can't see eternal life. But we're sure of all these things. I hope every one of you are so sure of your salvation that if anything were to happen tonight, going home, I'm going home. I'm going home. That's it. I'm not home here. I'm going home. And I love you, but I'm going home. So this is the assurance of these things I've not seen. So he says a conviction of things not seen. So there are things we can't see. So from verse 1, we learn two things about faith. One, sure of things hoped for. Two, convinced of things not seen. Now let's look at verse 2. Verse 2, for by it, faith, the men of old gained approval. So, by it, faith, the men of old gained approval. So, the third thing we learn about faith, it is by faith that we are approved by God. It is by faith that we are approved by God. We saw at the camp, we please God by faith. So, don't try to be saved by anything other than simple faith. That's all God is looking for. That's all he wants is simple faith, the size of a mustard seed, and a member of the Godhead for salvation, spirituality. And don't try to recover from the power of sin. We recover from the penalty of sin by faith. Don't try to recover from the power of sin by anything other than faith in a member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. It's not up to you. Is he able to restore you after you sin? Do you trust him to do that? Is he able to do that? So that's the whole issue. Now let's come to verse 3, where we have the fourth principle. By means of faith, we understand. So there's the fourth principle. By faith, we understand. The construction here is most interesting. Very interesting in the Greek construction. I'll try not to bore you with it, but I don't want you to miss this. One, I'm going to give you some sub-points here. One, the word to understand is from the basic root for the word mind, nous, N-O-U-S. So the first thing we observe is that faith directly affects the mind. Our faith directly affects the mind. This means that faith acts. To affect means to act upon. Means to influence the mind. Influence the thinking. So the first thing it says, when by faith we understand, the construction here is very interesting because one, the word to understand comes from the basic root, nous, mind. So we learn that faith affects the mind. the thinking. Now, secondly, this is a present active indicative, which means this goes on all the time. The indicative mood is reality. So this goes on all the time. It doesn't change. That's why I said we could put a period at the beginning, at the end of that phrase. By faith we understand. Now, in verse 3, he's going to go on that, and he's going to introduce some things we understand. But the principle is that it's true of everything in the Word of God. We understand by faith. So that's the present active indicative there. Now, the third thing. This is a declarative statement. That is, it is by means of faith that we understand all that is to be understood about God. We understand that all that it is to be understood about God by faith. That's how we understand it. You're not going to be able to work it out. You're not going to be able to figure it out. It's by faith. It's by faith. That's the end of it. Verse 4. In Hebrews chapter 11 here, verse 4 and following, is a list of heroes of faith. The list of heroes of faith. Faith exercised throughout the Old Testament, beginning with Abel. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel. See? And then verse 5. By faith, Enoch. Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. See, so we learn how to please God. So we're going to have a whole long list of people. And what's interesting, if you take the time to read it, who's in there and who's not? Solomon's not in there. Solomon's not a hero. Solomon's not a hero at all. I'll tell you who is in there. Samson. That horrible Samson. He's right there. A hero of faith. So, this is the whole issue. So, we just noted Hebrews 12:1 in one of our studies, and early Sunday morning. So let's look. Now, you take Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by faith, the men of old gain approval before God. 3, by faith we understand. Then here we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Verse 4, by faith. And it just goes through, by faith. By faith, verse 7, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. And it just goes all the way through. Now look at chapter 12, since we've been looking at that. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, now, where's that cloud of witnesses? That's what you would have just read throughout chapter 11 of Hebrews. Those great people. So we have a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us also, in our time, that word also means in our time. They did in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We do under the New Covenant in the church age. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And we all have that. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's what we're looking at on Sunday morning at 9:15. So I just wanted to get that in its proper place. Now, with that in mind, look at 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. And let's read verses 18 through 21. 18 through 21. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom does not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So it's by faith that we understand the Word of God. It's by faith we understand all these things. Now, I know we've jumped around, but go back to Hebrews 11 for a moment, please. Go back to Hebrews 11. Verse 3. For by means of faith, we understand. Now, in context, that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. Just as saying. And what we did in our 9:15 class, what we did, we had fun here. We went over to Ezekiel, where the valley of the dry bones, right, was prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now, I hope you notice, the reason we went back to it, the emphasis on seeing and not seeing. Seeing and not seeing. And from verses 1 through 3, the way of man is that he has to see. The wisdom of man is that he has to see. I forgot what state it was. I'm from Kansas. You have to show me or wherever it is. Missouri. I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. And that's the way a lot of people are. You got to show me. I can't understand that. You got to show me scientifically. See? And if he can't see it, then it's not true. If he can't see it, it's not true. The main problem with this is that most of what people learn, they learn by faith. Most of what we learn by faith. We trusted our parents, trusted our school teachers, trusted people. So this is the whole problem. And so faith is the conviction of things not seen. We can't see God, but by faith we know he is. And we know what he is, who he is, and what he's doing. Okay. Now with that, let's go back to John 3. John chapter 3. Because Nicodemus goes by the way of the world. Got to see it. Obedience to the law. Observing the Sabbath. All these kind of things that he has. So verse 11 of John 3. Truly, truly, I, Jesus Christ, say to you, Nicodemus, we, Trinity, speak. God communicates to mankind what we know and testify of what we have seen. Now, Jesus Christ explains why this Nicodemus does not understand these things. And so Jesus kept saying, and you people do not accept. And remember, this is a present active indicative showing the characteristic of the Jews, lambano, to receive by faith, to accept as true by faith our testimony. That is, the things we bear witness. As we have noted, Nicodemus does not grasp who Jesus is. He doesn't grasp it. I think he will. But he doesn't right now. He thinks he's a rabbi. He thinks he's a great teacher, master teacher. But he refuses to believe that he is the Messiah. Right now. I hope that as he walked out of his house that night, that he had a relationship with God and the Holy Spirit and believed in Jesus as the Messiah. Don't know that for a fact, but I tend to believe that. But he did believe those things, but he refuses to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. He refuses to believe that he is the only way to enter the kingdom. This is what makes the words of a criminal. Now think about it. Nicodemus, a master teacher of Israel, cannot grasp these things. This makes the words of a criminal hanging on a cross with Jesus so dynamic. Look at Luke chapter 23 a moment. Luke 23. Compare this criminal with this Nicodemus. Luke 23. And we'll read verses 30 from verse 39. 3 verse 39. And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, Jesus, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. People, don't you think about what this criminal is putting together? You come into your kingdom. It's most likely he's heard the gospel of the kingdom taught by Christ somewhere. And he believes that this Jesus is the King of the kingdom. And he believing in Jesus, he'll get into the kingdom. Nicodemus doesn't. And Nicodemus is trained. Nicodemus has all this education. And he doesn't understand all these things. And I love Christ's reply. And he said to him, truly I say to you, something I couldn't say to Nicodemus, something I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Not in the kingdom. Not in the kingdom. That's going to be later in the future. But in paradise. So what we can surmise is, this criminal, not surmise, we know by Jesus' own words, this criminal died on this day before 6 o'clock. Because we know Christ did. So when he said this day, whatever day you pick, but I pick Wednesday, that before that day's over, 6 o'clock p.m., Jesus Christ goes into paradise, not the kingdom, and this criminal goes with him. So this is just astounding. This lowly criminal heard the gospel of the kingdom and believed it. He believed who this Jesus is, something that most of the Sanhedrin do not believe and were not going to believe. Faith is something, people, that a child can do. But it's so difficult for an educated man. It's so difficult for an educated person to believe. That's why it's so important to reach them with the gospel. Very young, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, in the early teens. They usually get on in their late teens, they get too brassy. And they know it all. And it gets tough. But the best thing to do is give them the gospel when they're very, very young. Okay, faith is the beginning of wisdom. It is the root of perception. You want to understand the Bible by faith. Don't challenge it. Believe it. I believe it. It's so simple. You don't have to explain to me how the Red Sea, what time of the year it was, and how it was only 2 inches deep, and on and on and on. It says it's what happened. I believe it. And I've never had to worry about it. I believe it. So this becomes the truth for some people. Since Nicodemus refused to believe the witness of Christ, therefore the testimony of Jesus Christ concerning the redemption and entering the kingdom, Jesus Christ is just, Nicodemus doesn't understand it. It results in a failure of his faith. Look at verse 12, John 3, verse 12. John 3, verse 12. If, first class condition, and he has, so let's translate this sense. Since I told you, for your advantage, I told you for your advantage, but you did not take advantage of the advantage. People, a lot of people have advantages in life, but they don't take advantage of it. I know a lot of men married to a wonderful woman, a lot of women married to a wonderful man, don't take advantage of it, and ends up in divorce, ends up in an unhappy marriage. If you're given an advantage in life, you take advantage of it. Take advantage of listening to the teaching of the Word of God. So, since I told you for your advantage, now look what he says. Since I told you earthly things, simple things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Principle, doctrine, is built on doctrine. In the earthly realm, this is what we do. We start off 2 plus 2. Then we learn to subtract. Then multiply. Then algebra. Then calculus. So it is in the spiritual realm. You learn who God is. and I'm not worthy to be with God, but anything I do. Then comes the graceful gospel, that all you have to do is believe, and you do that. And it's by that faith you accept that you're saved, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Then you start learning other things. You learn about His deity. They don't know all about Jesus Christ. A lot of people say if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not saved. Well, then you're going to have trouble with Thomas. Thomas is not saved. No, Thomas was saved. Thomas was saved. Now, I do think a person has a problem if after they hear the truth, understand it, give it out to them, and then reject it. See, it's like in the time of Christ here. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Okay? If a person... I believe that there were people who were saved before they heard John say that. But if they were, the moment he said that, I believe him. I believe in him. So they don't have that problem. So it isn't a matter that when John the Baptist was on the scene and Christ was on the scene, there weren't people saved already. Because there were some that were. But when John said that, if they were, they'll accept that truth. So this is the understanding of these things, and you start learning more and more. You learn about the Word of God itself, that it abides forever, that it's powerful. Then about the Christian life, your purpose on earth, absolute necessity of the Holy Spirit. Then prophecy, if you're so unfortunate as to get somebody who's into that, and go into prophecy. You start learning and putting these things together. Yes, sir. Did he believe what? Yes. And then after he touched, he believed his resurrection. Okay. So, you just learn more and more, and you start building growth of the knowledge of the Word of God is by simple faith. Earthly things are visible. Heavenly things are invisible. In context, Jesus Christ relates our spiritual birth to our physical birth, but guess what? Both are on the earth. Both take place in the earth. So, this is an earthly thing. And as to telling us things on the earth, if we do not believe Him, why should He tell Him heavenly things? He doesn't believe the earthly things. Example, over and over, so many different ways God tells us, Jesus Christ created the world and the universe. But few believe Him. Today, few believe Him. And so, why tell them anymore? Why tell them about the creation of a new spiritual creation? They don't believe He created. Then you don't know them all these other things. They don't reject. They reject this. So they're not going to believe that. He tells so many wondrous miracles in the Bible. But so many preachers and teachers of the Bible do not believe them. Jonah and the whale? Oh, come on. You don't believe that? Yes, I do. The crossing of the Red Sea, the crossing of Jordan, holding the sun still for Joshua, the crumbling of the walls of Jericho, and on and on and on. And if they refuse to believe these earthly things, how will He be able to tell them of heavenly things, of spiritual things that evolve in eternity? If one refuses to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, how will they believe in their own resurrection? How are you going to believe that? If you reject the simple truths related to the earth, I can't tell you spiritual things. I can't tell you heavenly things. There are so many different ways of understanding being taught. And as it grows, doctrine built on doctrine. Let's look at Hebrews 5 a moment. In closing, Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. And let's look at verses 11 through 14. Concerning Him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become, I love the phrase, dull of hearing. That's what a lot of people are, dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need of someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. and you have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is just a baby. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Build more doctrine and doctrine and doctrine. And it takes a lifetime. It takes two lifetimes, three lifetimes. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. We still got a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 2. And let's read verses 6 through 8 of 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 6. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, and people, that doesn't happen overnight. You grow. You can be filled with the Spirit as a baby, but to be mature takes time and growing in the Word of God. So let's read verse 6. You, we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, but we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age. See, they can take it. They can take the heavenly or the spiritual things, nor the rulers of this age, angels, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Just one verse, verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And in closing, go over to 1 John, Revelation, Jude, 3rd and 2nd and 1 John, chapter 2. I just want to show you how this wonderful shepherd is teaching here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things so that you may not sin. Now jump down to verse 12. Jump down to verse 12. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, that's the older ones, because you know him, not fathers physically, fathers spiritually, the maturity, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, spiritually, because you have overcome the evil one, Satan, and they continue to grow in the Word. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. Now let's close with verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're learning about Nicodemus, but we're also learning about so many people in the world and about ourselves. We will understand so much more of the truth if we understand faith. If we hear it in the Word of God, read it in the Word of God, we believe it. It becomes truth, becomes reality to us. We become sure of things we hope for, certain of things we cannot see. It's by faith, Father. Father, I pray you take the things we've seen tonight, have them settle in our souls, go over these things in our souls, have them become a reality in our lives. I pray your Spirit can use the message we've done tonight for the glory of our Son and your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen.